Srimad is Devan Grishla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prim Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adeta Gradhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki, Shishi Radha Krishna Gaur Govagavina Shankar Radha Sri Giri Govardhana Ki, Sri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Sri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Maya Ki, Jamuna Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindaki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Where were we? Anyone knows where we happen to be?
Page 16.
The first one or the second one? Okay. Okay, page 16, 18, 3, continued, the upper one. While walking out of the cottage, his mind provoked by anger, Maharaj Parikit chanced to see a dead snake lying near the door. He picked it up with the end of his bow and hung it as a garland around Shamaka Rishi's neck. Then Parikit departed for Hastinapur. Back in his palace, the king began to contemplate and argue within himself whether the sage has actually been in meditation, with senses concentrated and eyes closed, or whether he had just been feigning trance just to avoid receiving a lower kshatriya. Yumisha 9. In 31 purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, repentance comes in the mind of a good soul as soon as he commits something wrong. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami do not believe that the king's action was due to his past misdeeds. The arrangement was so made by the Lord just to call the king back home, back to Godhead. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the plan was made by the will of the Lord, and by the will of the Lord, the situation of frustration was created. The plan was that for his so-called misdeed, the king could be cursed by an inexperienced Brahmana boy infected by the influence of Kali, and thus the king would leave his hearth and home for good. His connections with Srila Sukadeva Goswami would enable the presentation of the great Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered to be the book incarnation of the Lord. So then, we could see here is that the element of repentance is immediate in the mind of a great personality. Right? So that's why we have this contradiction. In the Dharma Shastras, it says if something goes wrong and it's a senior personality, then the punishment is less, because that repentance comes. But if that repentance is not there, there's attitude because of their senior position, then the punishment may be greater. Does that make sense? Because you have to break down so much. It means a Shudra may have attitude, but that's the normal thing. But a Brahmin's not supposed to have. Right? So it'll take more to break it down. Does that make sense? The Shudra, it takes a lot to break it down. It means if you have a very qualified Brahman, then it takes very little to correct him. But if it's not so qualified, he's very proud, then it'll take more to correct. Does that make sense? So like that, the one has to balance. We want to see the attitude. So this thing is repentance is the main thing, just like on Kali. He's doing very terrible things, but because of his surrender and proper attitude, therefore the punishment becomes reduced. Right? That's Chanakya Pandit says, if you deal with all your servants exactly the same, you will fail. Right? Your senior ones, your junior ones, your new ones, your old ones, your qualified ones, your less qualified ones, you detail all the same, you will fail in your endeavors. Right? Because there has to be distinction made between them. You know, the consideration has to be there. Right? It's not just prestige, that's one aspect. It has to be what is actually involved. Does that make some sense? Okay. So here then the point that the in the flow here is that the Bhagavatam, it's the will of the Lord, right? Just like in previous years, the will of the Lord. Otherwise, how did it happen with Dharma and Bhumi? Right? It doesn't make sense. The Lord's servants, how Kali is there harassing. So it's the Lord's arrangement that establishes him as a great king. You know, undisputed. Right? So now here, then we get the opposite. So he's very nicely established as the emperor. Right? So now by another arrangement of the Lord, we have an amazing way is how he is unestablished as the emperor. Right? He's taken out of that. Right? Because when things are more extreme, we pay attention to it. That's why the Puranas are interesting. Right? Because of the difference. Right? If you had a guy, he had nothing. He lived in a house that, you know, had only two walls and a roof with holes in it. And he had one grass mat. And then one day he said, "This is Maya. I'm taking sannyas." Would it create a great impact on you? You understand? He's already got nothing, and then he takes sannyas, where he has now. What does he do? He gives up, you know, two walls and a leaky roof and a grass mat. Great, it's good, but it's not as much as if you have somebody who's undisputed emperor of the world, right? It means his position is even in one sense stronger than the Pandavas. Right? Because the Pandavas had, even though he was emperor of the world, he still had Duryodhana and company with serious obstacles. Pritika doesn't have any of that. Does that make sense? Right. So, therefore, him leaving all that and going to the forest, then is more, will note, take note. If he could leave, why anybody else can't leave? Right, we use the other one. Oh, well, he had two walls and a mat. I have three walls on my house, and I got two mats. So how can I leave? You know, it's understandable he has less, so he can give it up. But I have so much. How, you know? So if he's undisputed emperor of the world, you cannot get better than that, according to the Shastras, as far as material enjoyment goes. That is the example of one unit, one, of human happiness. Right? That's the example. So that's as good as it gets. It doesn't get any better than that. And so he's giving that up. Okay? Does that make some sense? So it's only by the Lord's arrangement. Otherwise, how is such a pious person and such a great rishi and all that, how is this all brought together? Because the Lord's descending, then he's not going to come just for... He's not going to come just because of Kali. Right? Bhagavatam's not going to come just because of Kali. Right? He's going to come, that is a side thing. He's going to come because his devotee. Does that make sense? Then he comes. The Lord has passed. He doesn't come to kill the demons. He comes to associate with the devotees. You know, and on the side, then you have the meal, you know, and then you may have some little things around the edges, you know, some lemon or some achar. That makes it more fun, but the meal's still the meal. Right? You know what I'm saying? You're eating rice and sabji. You're not eating lemon. Right? And then you squeeze a little lemon on it. It adds more flavor. Right? So he's there with his devotees, and then to protect his devotees, he's killing the demons. Then it adds some flavor because it's protecting his devotees. Does that make sense? Like that. Okay. If there's any questions, you just raise your hand. 18.3. Shamika Rishi had a young son named Sringi, who was very powerful due to his Brahma Tejas. While playing with other boys of the same age, the inexperienced Sringi heard about how the king had insulted his father. Enraged, the boy denounced Emperor Pariket by comparing him to a crow that lives off scraps from a kitchen or a watchdog that guards the door. Just see how this so-called ruler has turned against his master. On what grounds can a dog enter the home and claim to dine with the owner on the same plate? So soon after the departure of Lord Krishna, these upstarts have already begun to flourish. Since our Lord and Protector is gone, and the Kshatriya enforcer of law in this kingdom is himself corrupt, I shall personally have to take up the matter and punish the wrongdoer. Just witness my power. Eyes reddened with fury, Sringi touched water from the river Kaushika and then cursed Maharish Pariksit. On the seventh day from today, Takshaka will bite this most wretched descendant of the royal dynasty for impudently overstepping his authority for insulting my father. Yumesha 10. In 37 purport, Srila Prabhupada reveals that the hand of the personality of Kali was behind Sringi's curse. Thus the beginning of the misuse of brahminical power began, and gradually the Brahmins of the age of Kali became devoid of both brahminical powers and culture. The Brahmana boy considered Maharaj Pariksit to be a Kulangara, or the wretched of the dynasty. But factually, the Brahmin boy himself was so because only from him did the Brahmin caste become powerless. Like the snake whose poisoned teeth are broken. The snake is fearful as long as his poisoned teeth are there. Otherwise, he is fearful only to children. The personality of Kali conquered the Brahmana boy first and gradually the other castes. Thus, the whole scientific system of the orders of society in this age has assumed the form of a vitiated caste system, which is now being uprooted by another class of men similarly influenced by the age of Kali. One should see to the root cause of vitiation and not try to condemn the system as it is without knowledge of its scientific value. Okay, so. So now the things that Sringi is quoting here are technically, according to Shastric verses, correct. But according to time, place, and circumstances, he put them together wrong. Does that make sense? Means here, the Brahmins are the head of society, so by their grace, the Kshatriyas are able to perform their duties. Because if the people aren't trained, if Shastra is not given, the guidance is not there, the kingdom can't be managed, right? Because you won't get long-term proper results. You may get short temporary results, but it will fail. Does that make sense? So that's not wrong, right? Then the king has dealt with it seemingly in an inappropriate way. You came to the house, should have been respected, he wasn't. But, you know, consideration should have been there. He was doing meditation, he didn't know he was there. Right? And he doesn't have enough wealth to, you know, have a guard at the door to tell him. But, right? Okay. Then he says, after the departure of Lord Krishna, so you can see he's considerate of the Lord's position. Right? Like that. And he knows that the Lord is the protector. He's saying that. And so, so you have the Lord as your protector, you have the Kshatriya. The Kshatriya is corrupt, Krishna is gone. So therefore, the Brahmins should correct it. So that's also according to Shastra. The Brahmin, when he's wrong, he doesn't go to the king. He corrects it himself. Right? If he can't do that himself, then he'll go to the king. But otherwise, the normal thing is everybody else goes to the king for justice. The Brahmins take care of it themselves. Right? Because either they take care of it by forgiveness, so they don't get involved in these things. Or if they don't, then they use their brahminical power to correct the situation. Right? Like Chanakya Rishi, Chanakya Muni, Chanakya? Pandit, yes. One of those. So then the Pandit was insulted by the king. He corrected it himself. He found another person, trained him, brought him in, situated him on the throne, and therefore then the situation now is proper. Does that make sense? But it's all according to Shastra. That doesn't mean... So what I'm saying is all these things are correct, but he's put them together wrong because he doesn't understand Pariksit Maharaj's position. He doesn't understand the position of the emperor. Emperor is different. Killing an emperor is worse than killing a Brahmin because the emperor protects so many... Killing a Kshatriya is less than killing a Brahmin. Right? But killing a king is not good because he protects the Brahmin, especially an emperor who is protecting so much the Brahminical culture. Right? So that's considered worse. So he's not factoring all this in. That's why he says inexperienced. He knows some Shastra, but he's putting together and coming up with the wrong conclusion. Right? And even if it was, okay, he put a snake around his neck. That's a problem. He can go to the court and chastise him. Right? Guaranteed, if Sringi walked into the court in front of Maharaj Parikit and in front of all the ministers and that who was there, said that this is wrong, this is nonsense, what are we going to do about this? You know, we want this to be corrected. And I'm sure Maharaj Parikit would have said, he would have said yes, and then immediately gone there with all his ministers and everything, bowed down to the Brahmin and said, we're really sorry, that was foolish, that was not my position, and on and on and on and on. Tried to give him some gifts of, you know, land and cows or, you know, something. Guaranteed. Right? But because he's inexperienced, then he thought he'll take care in this way. And therefore, then the Brahminical thing break down. Another aspect is it broke down for the Brahmins, so it's going to be reestablished from the Brahmins. That's why Prabhupada says we have to establish Brahminical culture. We have to create a class of men who can establish this culture. Does that make sense? That's what we do. Everything else, everybody else can do. Right? If you have Brahmins, you can create Kshatriyas. They'll create everything else. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the idea. It starts from the Brahmins. It doesn't start from growing carrots. Right? Carrots have to be grown. Right? But to be a Vaishya, you don't have to have any good qualities to make carrots come out of the ground. You know, you can be the nastiest, most disgustingest person, and if you put the seeds in at the right time and water it and take care of it, the carrots will come. The carrots won't say, hey, I'm not growing for this guy. You understand? So since Varnasha is built on character, it has to start with the Brahmins. Eating's going on. That should be there. It's part of the system. Right? But if it's only growing carrots, then we got a problem. Because then it's only looked at economics. Then Brahminical culture will be compromised for artha. And dharma and moksha will be left out of the equation. Does that make sense? Right? So that's why Brahminical culture is in place. Then, because of that, then the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, they are following the same culture. They all follow Brahminical culture. Just their economics are different. Then they are engaging their assistants. So they'll be engaged in assisting in their way the Vedic culture, the Brahminical culture. So then it's all in place. Does that make sense? Like that. Just as a side point, I was not making any comment about anybody here growing carrots. Just to make sure, because... You know, we try to say things that will mean something to you. Unfortunately, in doing that, then it does mean enough to some people that they think that they have insulted me or upset me. Or more, I'm insulting them. But we're trying to just give examples that fit. You know, like that. Does that make some sense? Okay, 8.3 continued. The boy returned home. Oh, okay, and here, then the last point Prabhupada makes is once you see the root cause of the vitiation, right? Vitiate means that it's out of balance, like mucus, bile, and air is how the body functions, right? If one of them becomes vitiated, then the health goes out according to that. Right, the vata goes out, the air goes out, then you get pains, or you may get fevers, but they're that kind of thing. Dry, hot means if the pitta goes out, then also that's heat, that'll get fevers. Too much acid, too much heat in the body. The kapha goes out, then you get colds. Right, you may also get fevers, but they're the cold, clammy fevers. You know, you touch water, you feel bad. You know, like that. Vata, you touch water, you feel great. You know, though you have a fever. You understand? So it depending upon which is out, it creates that kind of disease. Does that make sense? So here, Prabhupada's pointing out, you have to find the root cause of the vitiation. You don't just say it's wrong. Okay, hey, my kid got chicken pox. That means the body is bogus. Let's get rid of it. We'll just keep the spirit soul. That one's pure, never gets sick, no death, no birth, no old age. Hey, that's... Right? Make sense? No. So then, why would we do the same thing to the Vedic culture, which is the social body? If there's some sickness, find the sickness and correct that part. Does that make sense? Very important. Okay. The boy returned home to find his father seated with a dead snake draped over his shoulders. Aggrieved at this sight and troubled from within by the dawning realization that his cursing the king was a terrible mistake, Sringi began to cry out loud to relieve his burning heart. Samaka Rishi gradually opened his eyes at the sound of his son's grief. He saw the dead snake that hung around his shoulders, then cast it aside. Shamika asked, "My dear son, why are you crying? Has anyone harmed you?" Right? So the snake didn't mean anything. He didn't see his son crying, right? "Hey, what's this snake? What's going on here?" You know, no, it's just a matter of, what's this? You know, what's wrong with you? So the snake didn't mean anything to him. Like that.
You just mentioned that basically boy Sringi had faith to Krishna.
Something, but it doesn't necessarily, it's never brought out that he's actually a devotee. But Brahmins have knowledge. So Brahmins know what's what. They know what is Brahman. So he's the one that's protecting. He's the one, the Shastras say. He doesn't necessarily have to be a devotee, but, you know, they have faith in Vishnu.
So it said that he was not experienced. He didn't know how to apply Vedic knowledge. But is it not like the main source of his problem was that his faith was not full, not complete to Krishna, that he didn't see that actually Krishna is behind all this?
Yeah, it means you can take it from that, but then you could take that from everybody, right? It means faith has to be there, so that's correct. But what we're trying to get at here is the misuse of brahminical power by inexperience. Mm-hmm. Then that ruins everything. So in other words, when the brahminical power becomes influenced by Kali, then there's a problem. Does that make sense? Okay. See, in other words, you have a hammer, you have a nail. You have to hit the nail with the hammer. Right? Nail's small. I mean, you can hit the piece of wood, you know, like that, you know, but you want to hit the nail. So that's the point, is all these points are there, but what we're trying to learn is what is actually the theme point, you know, what is the thesis that's being established. All these are side points that are there, right? So that's the point. But so they're important points, but we're putting it together in this particular combination with this one is prominent, so therefore there's balance. And if we overemphasize another one, we'll get a completely different application, right? Does that make sense?
Also, Srila Prabhupada defines a neophyte devotee in Bhagavad Gita as a person who is not experienced or practicing Krishna consciousness in material
world. Yeah. So it's not a topic here whether the boy, so far, if he's a devotee or not, but he's a Brahmin. And he knows the Shastras, but not enough. You know? In other words, he's heard something, but his contemplation and his practice hasn't been enough that he gains maturity. In response, Sringi explained all that had happened. Hearing how and why the king was cursed, Shamaka Rishi was shocked. He explained, "Alas, what a greatly sinful act this son of mine has done. For an insignificant offense, he squandered his brahminical potency to wreak extreme vengeance upon a Narendra, a member of the royal class worshipable by the populace as the best of human beings." Because if you curse, you also lose your power. You know, it's just like a battery. As you use it, the battery, the charge becomes less, or you have money. As you spend it, you have less. So such a curse, to be able to curse the emperor of the world with Takshaka himself, the number three snake in the universe, right, then that takes a lot of power. That's a lot of bank account. So now he says you squandered, you know. Means squandered means you don't have, it's gone. Right? You say he squandered his money, that doesn't mean he has any left, right? He's squandering his money means he has money, but he's losing it. He squandered his money means it's gone. Does that make sense? So that should also be remembered. Gravely addressing, right? Yeah, and Narendra means the worship, general populace worship the king because he represents that potency of administration, punishment, religion of the Lord. And then the Brahmins are all then worshipable by that Narendra. That makes sense. Gravely addressing the boy, the great sage said, "You are my son, blessed by good birth and education, but your intelligence is not mature. You fail to understand that our king is the foremost of mankind. Indeed, he is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only by the power of his protection do the citizens live in peace and prosperity. As Brahmins, our deity is Sri Krishna, who personally took up a chariot wheel in his hand to defend our king's illustrious grandfather. Godhead is represented by the Dharmic monarchy. If that monarchy is terminated, rogues and thieves will overrun the world who vanquish the unprotected subjects as easily as a lion kills scattered lambs. If we, the Brahmanas, destroy the monarchical regime, the responsibility for the terrible social disruptions that follow will fall on our heads. The God-given system of Varnashram will dissolve, reducing the general populace to the level of dogs and monkeys. What is more, Emperor Pariksit is celebrated as a first-class devotee of the Lord. He is not only a worthy governor, but among kings he is a saint. Such a rare soul never deserves to be cursed. My dear son, I can only pray to the Supreme Lord that he may pardon you for having cursed a sinless person." So now in here we see also very interesting is he's making the point that by removing the emperor, then you remove everybody's protection. And at the same point, he's a great devotee, so then even more he doesn't deserve to be cursed. But we also notice here in the culture of it, he's the son, he's dealing with them nicely and all that, but he's saying very serious things. Right? So this is the point, is that one can speak nicely but say very strong things. Right? And then, so it's not that one has to yell and scream and kick and scratch and bite and then like that. It can be done nicely. Like that. Text 41 to 47. Shomaka Rishi was stunned by the realization that although a Kshatriya has the right to defend himself from unwarranted aggression by even a Brahmin, and certainly it was within Maharaj Pariksit's power to counteract Sringi's curse, devotees are so forbearing that they never take revenge, even when cursed, cheated, defamed, neglected, or disturbed. To complicate the matter even further, the Lord never excuses offenders of his devotees, whomever they may be. If the king were to counter-curse my son, thought the Rishi, then this foolish boy might get relief from his sinful reaction. The saintly Pariksit will certainly not do so, however. The only hope is to appeal to the Lord on the grounds that this offense was committed by an ignorant child. The sage did not at all take offense of the king seriously. Nimisha 11. In 49th purport, Srila Prabhupada sums up the actual situation. The whole incident is now cleared up. Maharaj Pariksit garlanding the sage with a dead snake was not at all a very serious offense. But Sringi's cursing the king was a serious offense. The serious offense was committed by a foolish child only. Therefore, he deserved to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord, although it was not possible to get freed from the sinful reaction. Maharaj Pariksit also did not mind the curse offered to him by a foolish brahmana. On the contrary, he took full advantage of the awkward situation, and by the great will of the Lord, Maharaj Pariksit achieved the highest perfection of life through the grace of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Actually, it was the desire of the Lord and Maharaj Pariksit. Rishi Shamika and his son Sringi were all... Maharaj Pariksit, Rishi Shomika, and his son Sringi were all instrumental in fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So none of them were put into difficulty because everything was done in relation with the Supreme Lord. So the Lord once is going to appear as Srimad Bhagavatam. That will be the result, right? That's the dative, no? That will be done by Pariksit Maharaj hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. Right? Amongst all the sages. Right? So the Lord's desire, then the action is fulfilled through the interaction of these three. Because of these three, then that situation will be spoken and the result will be gotten. Does that make sense? So we see here is that he's instrumental. He's bringing out the element here of the instrument, but it is grammatical. Because the grammatical is very easy to understand. So that means Krishna is, it's by his will, he's organizing it. Because he's the subject. So the subject is the one performing the activity. But he's doing that activity through the instrument, which is these three persons. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Riti, commentary on question 25 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as asked by the sages to Srila Sutta Goswami. Okay, so that sums up the chapter. Right? That was the Shloka Anushana. Question 25. The sages, eager to hear about Krishna, declare that those expert in tasting rasa find no end to the relish of the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. They therefore request Sutta Goswami, please describe those topics of Lord Krishna by which Maharaj Purkit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds, whose topics were vibrated by the son of Vyas, Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Okay, 4.1. Sutta Goswami's answer to question 25 spans the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, topics of the Lord. Yeah, in other words, what topics did Parikshit Maharaj hear that allowed him to attain the lotus feet of the Lord? So that will start in the second canto and will go up to halfway through the 12th canto. Like that, so that's like that. 4.2, that the sages intended by their question to hear the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sutta as it was heard by King Parikshit from Sukadeva is confirmed by this passage from purport 14. There's no end to such transcendental discourses. In mundane affairs, there is the law of satiation. But in transcendence, there is no such satiation. Sutta Goswami desired to continue the topics of Lord Krishna before the sages of Naimisharanya. And the sages also expressed their readiness to hear from him continuously. Since the Lord is transcendence and his attributes are transcendental, such discourses increase the receptive mood of the purified audience. Right, so the more you hear, the more you're able to hear or want to hear. It's also interesting to note, since the Lord is transcendence and his qualities are transcendental, it doesn't say the Lord is transcendental. He is transcendence. Right? Does that make sense? He's in a different category. We become transcendental. You know what I'm saying? And right now we're not. We become. Krishna is transcendence. Because transcendence means being situated on the Brahman platform. He is Brahman. Does that make sense? It's interesting, these points. Okay, so then we'll end here. Because this next Vinodakam is special interest for students working towards a Bhakti Vaibhava degree. These are the same what we've already gone through. But they're like very specific areas that are the most important, right? So then those who are full-time students and taking then these noted. And then in the Parashishtam, the 5.2, then here he gives the purports that are not the main theme, but are side very major important points that come up in the purports, right? So they should also be studied. Because many times you have a point you know was there, and you know was something about, you know, a king in this situation. But and so everywhere you look where there's a pastime with a king, it's not there. Because it's in some other thing where the gopis are saying something like that. It happens all the time. So that's why it's important you look at these, then you get more of an idea of where they are, because otherwise later on, then those connections won't be there. You have the next one, 19. No, 10. Are we supposed to continue? Yes. Please.
Sringi caused it when the super soul to act as he did, or the super soul of Krishna just used his own mentality to affect Krishna's own cause?
It means super soul doesn't directly involve himself with the material energy. But he is the sanctioner. It is his energy. It's just like a powerful or wealthy person gives a portion of money and authority to another person to enact activities that he's approved. Right? So the activities is approved, that's all that can go on. Like that. And so one is there's generic approval, and then there's specific approval. But still, it's his officer with that wealth and authority gets things done. He doesn't deal with it. Right? Because it's just general. But now if somebody very near and dear or somebody very respectable comes to him, he doesn't give it to that other person to take care of. He personally takes care of. Does that make sense? So when he's dealing with the devotees, that he personally is taking care of. As we see Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield. Krishna personally is taking care. But in dealing with these other matters, then he is authorized the material energy. And through Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he has entered into the universal form. You know, into his potencies have entered into the cosmos. And through those potencies, then Maya gets her work done, right? Using the three modes of nature. So then that's what's going on. So it's actually Maya will be pulling the strings and making it happen, but it's the Lord's desire, but she gets it done. Does that make sense?
Did Sringi get any reactions on his serious mistake?
But Prabhupada says that he will be forgiven because he's a child, but it doesn't mean the reaction won't be there.
What it could be, reaction?
That, does it matter? Sure. It means we're talking on this. Does it matter what that means? Another question would be is, you know, it'd be really cool to know what kind of shoes Prickett Maharaj. Was he wearing those kind with the curly points on them? Or because he was hunting, was he wearing something different? Or, you know, like that? Or, you know, some track shoes, maybe Nikes? Or maybe, you know, Adidas? Or, you know, who knows, you know, what it would be like that. Of course, he is a king, so maybe a puma would be more appropriate, you know, they're more ferocious and all that. You know what I'm saying? That's not there. That's a separate study. That's the Dharma Shastra, that if you kill a Brahmin, these are your reactions. Basically, for killing a Brahmin, there is no atonement. So exactly what it's going to be depends upon the personality. Here it's the emperor, that's already bad. Here it's a first-class devotee. You couldn't calculate what the reaction will be. Because he's a child that's reduced, but this reaction is shared by everybody. Right? So that means the whole kingdom is going to be affected. So therefore the reaction will be the age of Kali will come, and just as Shomaka Rishi says, Shomaka Rishi, all those things will happen. The people will be unprotected, the rogues and rascals will come into power, all that will happen. So that's the reaction. What personally happens to him, that's another thing. But, you know, it's you know, unless he does some serious, you know, taking up Krishna consciousness himself, then it's not going to look good. Like that? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work. I mean, thousands of years later, still, you know, certain communities are still having problem for having given problem to a great preacher. You know? So, these things, how long it goes and how much they affect, it's hard to say. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, that's just the way it is. You know, you kill Brahmins, and then it's mentioned you live in the desert. You're born in the desert, so there's a lot happening out there. You know, so it's still going on. You know what I'm saying? So these things, when you get up to that level, they're very great. Below that, they're less. Some other, yes?
As a child, or direction is not supposed to go to his guardians.
That's there, but it doesn't mean it won't affect his consciousness. Maybe the particular physical reaction, that's another thing. But his consciousness will definitely be polluted by such an action. Does that make sense? Anything else? Something?
It said that the demons will take birth in the families of Brahmanas in the age of Kali Yuga. So if it, is something like that with Sringi?
Maybe. I'm not sure that specifically, but it's definitely not the right mentality.
Something to Pratik here. I can't really understand why Maharaj Pariksit, he was surrendered to the Supreme Person of Godhead. And by the surrendering to Vyasa, to Shukadeva Goswami, he could understand the Supreme Person of Godhead. How is this understanding? He's the second point is that he was anyway surrendered to Krishna.
Then you understand how to surrender more. Surrender is unlimited. Right? Is that okay? In other words, we have to understand that being in the spiritual world, you're still going to be taught how to serve Krishna and be learning more and more how to do that. There's going to be people that are going to be there teaching you, and you're going to be learning from them. And so your surrender moment by moment is getting more and more, right? The gopis are eternal, are associating directly with the Supreme Lord, but he left the rasa dance so they would surrender more. Yeah? You understand? Going back to Godhead doesn't mean that it's kind of like, you know, just kind of like this situation where it's just, that's it, and it's just there, and I'll be happy because I'm out of here. Right? It means it's a place where you go, and there's people there, and those people interact. And everything there is perfectly all about Krishna. Right? And because they're perfectly absorbed, therefore, there's no need of material energy. So there's only the internal potency. So everything there is perfect and in perfect harmony. But there's still people who are interacting, right? Having feelings, having ideas, performing activities. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's just kind of this Brahman platform, right? It means we'll be happy to get out of here, but going into the spiritual world, we're happier. Means we're happier going into the spiritual world than the happiness of getting out of the material world. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why, if it's personal, people have emotions and feelings and interests and desires and goals, right? So that continues in the spiritual platform. But it's all centered around Krishna. That's why it's perfect. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Something else? Yes.
Can you explain the term Dvija Bandhu?
The term Dvija Bandhu means friend of the Dvijas. Dvija means twice born, Brahman, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. So Dvija Bandhu means friend of the twice born. It means he's from that category of persons. But he doesn't have the mentality, right? One may, let's say, you're born in a business family or something, but you have no interest in business, no interest in the charity, no interest in the religious functions that they're performing. You're just interested in spending money, having a good time, you know, enjoying life. You know, no thinking of how to develop economics. So that's a Dvija Bandhu. You know, he's a friend of a Dvija. It means he's from the family of Dvijas, but he in no way has a Dvija mentality. know what I'm saying? He's not following Brahminical culture. He doesn't have the occupational interest. He's from a Vaishya family. He's not interested in creating economics, only in spending it. So he's only interested in enjoyment. So that's not a Vaishya's known because of economic development. With that, they enjoy, but not at the expense. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If you have a real Vaishya, you'll generally see when they have, it means what they're spending, they have 10 times more than that. Right? Does that make sense? The common person, then what he has, he spends more than that. Right? That's why there's loans and mortgages and this and that. You know, buy now, pay later. He gets everything on credit. He doesn't have the money, but he buys it. Right? But the Vaishya, if he has you know, a big house and two cars and all that, he's got a ridiculous amount of money. Right? If he's got 100 rupees, he won't spend 50. He'll maximum spend 10. You know what I'm saying? That's their mentality. So here, this person doesn't have that mentality at all. So he's acting like a common person. Therefore, he's Dvijabandha. Okay? Anything else? No? Yes?
Often, when I hear people talk about that coming from the heart.
Huh.
So I wanted to know, what is the mind, what is the heart, and how do you know which platform we're acting or speaking from?
The mind or the heart?
Yeah. Is there a definition for each of them?
Yeah, it would be like by the mind and the heart. You could say fire. What's the difference between fire and flames? Understand? The heart means the mind. Because the mind is where the emotions, the desire, the need, that's all established. So that's the heart, what we call the heart. Intelligence, it only discriminates between items. Right, the intelligence can tell you, okay, here is 11 columns right on the inside here. Right, so now it's done two things. It's separated that there are columns and there are 11 of them, and it separated the inside ones and put them all together as one group and separated them from the outside group, which is a different set of columns. Right, so it's categorized these things as columns. That's bringing it together. There's 11 of them, it separated them, but they're inside columns, not the outside columns. So that's what intelligence does. But whether that's important or not, whether it's important to you, whether you want to do something with that, that's the intelligence. All it does is find that out. The mind then goes, oh yes, then these inside columns, then we can decorate like this and so then it's there. Well, no, but we don't have enough decoration, so we'll only do the inside, not the outside. So the mind uses it like that and then keeps, you know, going back and forth between there. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on. In one sense, you can say the ego and the mind and the intelligence are basically aspects of the mind. The subtle body is one basic entity, but it has these three aspects: mind, intelligence, false ego. Does that make sense? Like that. Okay.
Yeah, it's something else, but I lost it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So then, a few minutes now. We have two more classes for this term. Then we'll start again in I think 7th September. I think it's somewhere around that date we'll be starting. The Vishwarupa Mahotsav will be the first day of school. We'll have to see if that falls in the week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Otherwise, it'll only be the opening of the ashram and that. So what we're going to do is then tomorrow and the next day, we'll try to go through quickly through the 19th chapter. Then you will all have all 19 chapters. So those can be studied again, you know, and all that. Then, Suhota Maharaj, during this break, the next 4 months, he will be utilizing that to finalize now the first act, half of the Bhakti Vaibhav. Right? So the first three cantos will be written in this final form, or at least final meaning for our use now, and published. Right? So then when we regroup again in September, then with those books, then we'll study that. Because in other words, how, like this 18th chapter is that all the other chapters before this will be brought up to the same kind of standard. Does that make sense? And there'll be some basic divisions, like the first, the invocation will be made into its own lesson. There'll be a study of just that. Then there'll be a study of the first chapter. Then, does that make sense? Like that. So there will be, so all those things will be worked out. Then at that time, because we've already gone through it and you'll have studied it nicely, also you have 4 months to look through it, then we will again review it as quickly as possible, but now on that more detailed level. And then we'll have the test on the first canto. So most likely, probably in October, like that, you know, like that, we would then have the test on that, October, early November. And then we'll go into the second canto. Right? But the book will be there, so it'll be very easy to study and go through it. Okay? So, you know, just for that, I want to thank everybody for, you know, coming along and putting up with, you know, our piloting of the first canto here, you know, and by your, how I say, participation, then we've been able to work out many things, what works nicely, you know, what is like that, by your feedback and just our observations, and so then we've been able to put this together. So thank you. So we'll end here. We'll see you tomorrow with the 19th chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivarinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.